to grad school against your will, we're filing a class action lawsuit that you may be entitled to compensation for your time and suffering.
I feel like you just want to be compensated for your time and suffering.
I do, because how the fuck am I paying you for me to write papers?
It's ridiculous, and the bump is bad. Like, the bump is not worth.
It depends. My bump isn't bad. It's not good.
Yeah.
It's not what I would choose. I think your pay should double, personally.
It will take me multiple years to pay off grad school with the bump.
Yeah, I'm not even having to pay for mine. It would be so much worse if I had to pay for it.
Oh, right. Well, you know what? Do you guys get national board certified?
Not that I'm aware of. No one's mentioned that to me. And I've gotten many emails of them yelling at me for not being certified. So I can imagine they would have brought that up.
I don't even know what national board certification is. And that's not what this is about. But when I was looking at the pay scale, I was like, oh, that's a really good bump. Like, it was like a couple $1,000s.
Interesting. A 1 to 3 year process, immediately no. Immediately no.
It reminds me of like when you have to clear your credential in California, where like you have to do a 1 to 2 year program to just prove that you really, really want to teach, I guess. I don't know.
They're like, we are such gluttons for punishment. Like, we really, they just keep piling it on and we keep taking it.
Dude, this is new-ish. The National Board Certification Incentive Program in California went into effect July 1st, 2021, and it grants up to $25,000 to teachers who have achieved National Board Certification and who agree to teach at a high priority school for at least 5 years. That is a lot of money. Oh my God, you can get $5,000 for 5 consecutive years. What the fuck?
I'm trying to look up in my district if we get paid extra. I'm not really finding an answer.
What even is this? Certification from the National Board for Professional Teaching Standards is one of the most significant achievements a teacher can attain. LAUSD has the largest contingent of National Board certified teachers within California.
I looked it up. My state does nothing. It's literally blank in that column. It has like every state and how much it is, and mine's blank.
No shit. Okay, but what does it even do? It says they identify and provide leadership opportunities. This is so vague. The negotiated agreement provides probationary and permanent classroom teachers who hold a board certification up to an additional 15% salary compensation, 7.5% in recognition of their certification, and 7.5% upon completion of 92 hours of professional duties outside the normal duties and hours. So I guess it's just additional training?
From what I'm gathering, it's a special certification that multiple organizations are certified to give you. Like, some universities offer it, some just like certification programs offer it. I'm guessing that the people in charge of this are regulating the providers.
It says that it was designed to develop, retain, and recognize accomplished teachers and generate ongoing improvement in schools nationwide. So I guess it's like ongoing training.
Yeah.
But why is it more coveted than grad school?
It's a nonprofit.
Maybe it's a secret society.
This is from Wikipedia, so do what you will with that. Candidates for the National Board Certification must complete 3 portfolio entries, submit them online, a computer-based assessment, which is administered at a testing center. So I think it's like you do it through them, but you can join a program to like help you with that. And I think that's what it is. But I find it interesting that every state, it's so different, because like my state and many other states on this list, that column is literally just blank and it has absolutely no correlation or relation to your state license. But in some states, it seems to be like very much intertwined and you get paid extra. Because the way it works in my state is you start off at like a we hate you pay rate if you're temporary or provisionally certified, and then you get a bump once you get the next level up that lasts for like 10 years and it's like the we love you one. Then you get a bump. So I guess in some states, they're like, I don't care what they're doing over there at the national board. We only give bumps for our stuff.
Reddit seems to think that it's not worth it.
Yeah, it seems expensive and arduous.
They said, like, if it's not incentivized. Like, obviously, if you're going to get $5,000, if you're going to get $25,000 to be certified, that's one thing. That's the whole other discussion. But like,
and then there's my state where it said it can assist in recruitment. If that's your state, don't do it.
Yeah, that's what they were saying. They were like, it's not really like what's the point. But like, I have really enjoyed my master's program so far. I don't know if that's because I'm not in the classroom though. If I was teaching, I would not want to be spending additional time or energy on this shit. I bow down to every teacher who is in grad school and teaching, like, and a parent. Do you do coke?
I literally just have no idea what I'm going to do when grad school starts. Like, I quite literally just have no plan.
Do you know how many classes it is?
No. No, I do not.
Mine's, like, really slow. It's, like, two classes a semester. So it takes a really freaking long time. But at the same time, it's, like...
The only thing that's making me think that it will be okay is the program I'm doing is literally exclusively for people who are currently full-time classroom teachers. Like, that is a part of the requirements. Like, I had to upload proof of employment in my application.
Oh.
So I'm like, if that's who this is directed at, then it can't be that bad is what I'm hoping. Yeah. Or yeah. I could be totally wrong and they'd be like, these motherfuckers can handle it. Like, it could be the reverse.
I mean, I had to complete a project that I had to have modified because I wasn't teaching.
I think that's why they require us, because they have a different program that's for not current teachers. I think they just, like, don't want to deal with the modifications of it all. But I found some interesting info about pay with master's degrees.
Please tell us.
So this is in my lovely old home of Miami, because there's maybe me really mad because I was gonna go get a master's degree and then I realized how absolutely useless it is. So you do get a pay bump there, but for a master's degree, it is a whopping $3,000 for the whole year. It gets better. For a doctorate, a literal doctor, a PhD, someone who went to school for a decade, gets an extra $7,000 per year.
Oh.
That's it.
I forgot. We had done this, I believe, in a previous episode. And we
I do remember us discussing this.
Yeah.
Yes. But that is where I was. And that is the numbers, which I find very interesting and disturbing.
Let me tell you, LAUSDs. So we already talked about the National Board Certification gets you a 15% salary bump. If you get a... Sorry, if you get a master's degree, you get $584 annually.
That's like $1.
I know. Like, so disgusting.
How much is that per check?
Let's see. It's $3.24444. They hate us.
They literally, $3.
If you get a doctorate, you get $1,168 annually. It says an employee with a master's degree and a doctorate degree shall receive the doctoral differential only. So if you have both, you only get the $1,168.
What's the point? And they don't even pay for it.
No.
That's the thing. Like, to me, it's insane that they don't pay for the whole thing. People will be like recruiters and like HRs and stuff will be like, we offer tuition assistance. We cover a whole quarter. And like I literally think that they should be bribing us. Like, you should pay for it and you should pay me my hourly rate while I'm doing the work. Like, that seems the most advantageous to you.
I remember going from year 2 to 3 and looking at this salary schedule without a master's or anything. It was different when I was looking at it, but it's still a pretty similar gap. Year 2, you get $63,372. Don't get excited if you live in not Los Angeles County. We've talked about that's basically poverty. So it's $63,372. The following year is $63,474. That's $102 of a raise.
I wouldn't even write a paper for $102, let alone complete an entire degree.
Yeah, so it's like grad school. People are always like, oh, are you required to do grad school in California? No, you're not. But I know in New York you are.
There's another place where you are. I can't remember.
The list as of 2020, Connecticut, Maryland, and New York require all teachers to either earn a master's in teaching or a master's in education within a specified time frame to maintain their teacher licensure. We are not required a master's, but we have to clear our credential, which is a 1 or 2 year program focused on your teaching practice.
To me, that's more annoying.
I highly agree. It was the worst thing I've ever
at least
I still have to do it.
That's why I'm doing a master's instead of my state teaching program, because if you get a master's, you can pretty much teach anywhere. If you have a master's of arts in teaching, pretty much anywhere will hire you. It's all about that reciprocity, baby.
Mm-hmm. I mean, but are you really going to leave the state again?
I don't know.
But you want the option.
Exactly.
It's crazy to me that the requirements are so different from state to state. Like, you'd think that, like, we would have a more regulated
thing. Yeah. I also want it because it could give me the clout to do things besides just classroom teaching.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No,
I feel
100%.
Like it's just a good thing to have under your belt.
Yeah.
I realized that I was rapidly approaching 30 with nothing but a Florida State sociology degree. And that's
there's
less
nothing
than
wrong
ideal.
With that.
Okay, there's nothing wrong with that, but that's not exactly lucrative.
I feel you.
Like, do I think it lessens my value as a person? No. Do I think it lessens my income potential? Yeah.
Yeah. No, 100%. Like, we love money. Who doesn't love money? My degree is a master's in science or a master of science. Whatever. It doesn't matter. In curriculum and instruction with an emphasis on social justice. But I feel like I could use that for other stuff too, which I might be delusional. But I think like if I wanted to like write curriculum, I feel like I could use that for it.
I think you definitely can, especially because usually this was my logic with going to grad school is usually those more niche things have vaguer requirements. Like teaching always has like strict ass requirements because it's the state government regulating it. And they just like love to write things down and for us to pay money and go to classes, which valid, but leave me alone. So I noticed that a lot of times other jobs, like you said, like curriculum writing and like specialized positions just say master's level education required. It doesn't usually have as like weirdly nuanced, and it'll say like master's of education. It's just a little vaguer as opposed to teaching where they're like, have you taken this specific course code? No? Looks like you can't work here.
As if shit's not gatekeepy enough.
Exactly.
So in general, like in our country, graduate enrollment is on the decline and like it's just not being incentivized. So I like totally get like why you wouldn't want to do it. The thing that I like about grad school is nothing about my teaching practice. I mean, I'm there because I want to stay sharp and I want to stay learning and I want to like develop. But the things that I'm really interested in are like the theory behind different things and like the research aspect and being able to like figure out how do you navigate scholarly research and like how do you use it to improve your practice and how can you use it to benefit your community. Stuff like that is really interesting to me, but like it's not necessarily going to help me when I'm in the classroom with the kids all the time.
No.
And in theory, I could probably figure out ways to learn that shit on my own. There's got to be a YouTube somewhere.
You literally took the words out of my mouth. The other day to my students, like literally wanted to shove my words back in my mouth because I said, you can learn anything from YouTube, guys.
No, but like you can.
You literally can.
It's such like a luxury item.
Grad school's a luxury item or YouTube or both.
YouTube Premium is a luxury item.
They are about to get me. I am so tired of these ads.
I accidentally realized that we had it on our podcast account for like a year.
We had YouTube Premium?
Yes.
On the podcast? Why?
I don't know. I actually think I do know. I think I used it to, because you have to have premium to download YouTube videos. And I think I needed a piece of footage or a soundbite from something from long ago.
There's websites where you can do that for next time.
Yeah, I think I did it legally, like a sucker.
Oh, look at you.
And then I was like paying for YouTube Premium and not using it.
It's terrible. Paying for stuff you don't need is like actually hell.
Capitalism, baby. Department's new transparency measures will tell prospective students if a graduate program will leave them with debt they can't afford to pay back. This article is from October 3rd of this year. So they're like basically trying to scrutinize graduate education and they're adding new requirements for graduate programs. But I don't know, there's no debt that I want to pay back. I have forgiven myself.
I'm feeling great about it. I feel like God's forgiveness is the only one that I need.
I know that I'm enrolled in public service loan forgiveness, but I have to literally do the paperwork for so many different things that I have not done paperwork for, which that's the one that like you have to do income-driven payments for 10 years, but then they just changed it to any payment for 10 years because it was like really hard. It was like something ridiculous. Like 12 people had benefited from public service loan forgiveness before they changed the requirement.
12 is comical.
It was a comical number. Wait, I forget what I saw. It was something very sensational. But they're doing new shit all the time with it, so that's nice.
Maybe one day it'll be functional.
I give the government credit for very little, but when I saw they did this, I was like, that's actually pretty cool of you, daddy government. Don't get used
y'all
to
y'all really
that.
Popped off with that one.
Yeah.
That makes one.
You'll piss me off in the next 45 minutes, but
let's enjoy this moment together.
Yeah. Okay, so previously they were only holding for-profit colleges accountable in this way, and now they're shifting it to all colleges.
Oh.
So they're going to ask for a lot of more metrics from these schools.
Interesting.
It says the department will designate programs that fall below the benchmarks as high debt burden or low earning. So a program could be considered a high debt burden if students' annual loan payments amounted to more than 20% of their income or 8% of their income 3 years after completion. They're going to be looking at the program's graduates and seeing the average amount of their earnings and seeing if they make more than adults who didn't go to college. And if the program completers make less than those who didn't go to college, the program is going to be considered low earning. So they're like straight up going to be like, this isn't really worth it to go to college for. Just FYI. Don't go.
I'm not opposed to this necessarily. They're taking a very ROI stance on this. This is a very corporate-y way to go about this, and I'm not necessarily against it because I do think that a lot of universities charge us tens of thousands of dollars for someone who's unqualified to show you a YouTube video. So I do think it's valid to be like, did this provide you a skill set that made you a higher earner? But I also don't love like the ROI around knowledge because like learning is just good. But yeah. I see how we got here. And I think it might be part of our way out of it.
I'm like really surprised by this. The founder of the HEA Group, a research and consulting agency that is focused on college access and success, helped create the college scorecard during the Obama administration. And now he's working on this. And he says this is going to provide actual cost information while providing a better indicator of whether or not these graduate programs offer a, quote, bang for students' educational buck.
And then what we're talking about with like how districts don't really give you a pay bonus, that's really going to affect mm-hmm. a lot of teacher grad school programs because that shows it's not a good return on investment. But also, maybe it should be.
Right.
Like, maybe that means more money would be cooler.
Right.
Maybe that's a sign.
If graduate programs want people to enroll and they want people's money, shouldn't they incentivize it in such a way that they go to school districts and they're like, hey, you, I don't know what to say. I was going to say, you tickle our pickle.
Don't say that.
Don't say that.
I don't know. That's not a good choice.
HR has entered the chat. But like, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah. Like it could be beneficial.
Yes. About 490 graduate programs currently fail at least one of the two new tests, mostly falling short on debt to earnings. So like teachers, I don't.
One thing I would be fascinated to see is to see like a visualization of this data next to fields that are dominated by women and like data around that. Like I would love to see the intersection of this.
Do you know what I do have?
What?
Nearly half of the programs that would fail are in the health profession and the other 71% are in psychology and another 62% are in the visual and performing arts, which, okay, as a theater kid, I have always been very confused why we're going to grad school, you guys.
You can do local improv for free, and I think that it is better training. I do not think you need to give someone $100,000 to teach you to do theater. I don't know how to do theater, but I'm really going to take a stance on that.
What pisses me off is that a lot of grad programs for actors use it as an opportunity to get like into a cohort or like into a theater that's like a really good and hard to get into theater. Like they'll get you a spot in there. I just feel like I've seen so many toxic grad programs because they know that like you're there because you are planning for your future and you're trying to like pay your future rent with art, but like they take advantage of you and it gets really fucked up. It just pisses me off when people prey on people like that.
Don't prey on artists. They can't take
it. We're sensitive, guys.
Like they're not built for that. Like go do that to a business major.
So yeah, so that's interesting. Maybe people think about grad school in a way that's not like got my undergrad, so now I'm gonna get my grad thing. Like
that's what I've told people about grad school is you should only go to grad school if you can make a spreadsheet showing that the money you're investing is a good investment. Mm-hmm. Undergrad is to me very much like, let's learn who am I? What do I want to do in the world? grad school should be like, if I do this, I will get another $20,000. Unless you're rich, then like have fun with your passions. That's what my mom is doing. Good for her.
Good
also,
for her.
Life hack that she discovered, it is cheaper for her to be in grad school and get the student health care than to just buy health insurance. So she said she's just never going to finish.
Yeah.
And she's just going to keep going.
I get that. I don't have to pay back my student loans while I'm in grad school.
Stay there forever.
I'm going to. I'm not leaving.
You can't make me.
I asked our followers for their input on what we're talking about. And one interesting thing that we've talked about this before a little bit is that there is a push for grad school, but not a push for hiring those with a graduate degree. Schools churn out degrees, but not what admin was to hire / employ. And I feel like I've seen that where I've had friends who go to undergrad, then they go to grad school and they get double certifications, or they get like the bilingual certification that's a $3,000 bump in LAUSD. They get all this shit and then they go as a first year teacher to interview. And, you know, as a first year teacher, sometimes principals will pull out resumes and lay them side by side and be like, well, this person's cheaper to hire than this person with all these degrees.
I'm very cheap right now.
Yeah. And like a lot of teachers will say, wait until you get tenure at your school and then go to grad school because they can't get rid of you for being expensive.
This country is so broken. Oh my God.
I know. Isn't that fucked up? And like, I would literally think that was sensational and bullshit if it hadn't happened to people close to me. And lots of people are talking about the ROI, which is return on investment, if anybody doesn't know. I didn't know that before I went to whatchamacallit. This person says you must go and you get zero pay bump. It's kind of like our clear credential thing. It's like you're doing additional coursework, but you get nothing for it.
So I found a big study. This was written in March 2017, but it looks like the data they used goes from like 2007 to 2015. They looked at a bunch of different studies and like compiled them in this research brief. The effect of master's degree attainment on student reading and math achievement during high school remains unclear. One study suggests that master's degree attainment will only yield a positive effect on student math achievement if the teacher majors in math during the master's program. Regarding science achievement, one study demonstrated scores were higher among students who had a master's degree relative to students whose teacher only has a bachelor's degree. So it seems very, very, very unclear. And it also said, among early childhood, primary, middle, and junior high, teachers who have a master's degree do not have a larger effect on student reading achievement. And the effect on math was unclear. So on reading, they confirmed it doesn't make a difference. Math, they're a little unclear. This would be really hard to study because you also think about if you have a master's degree, you probably got that while you were teaching. So you're also more experienced. So like, are they doing better because you got the degree or are they doing better because you've just been doing this for longer?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question.
And this is what they said. They said past research depicts a complex, poorly understood relationship between teacher educational attainment and student outcomes that may vary by factors such as schooling, subject, and major course congruence. That's the thing that I'm really wondering is congruence, like if what you're learning in your master's is actually applicable to what you're doing with your students. And I will let you guys know once I finish, but from what I've heard from other people, it's not.
Yeah.
It's a lot to take in.
It is a lot to take in. And like, it doesn't even seem like people have been seeing any super benefit. That's really sad.
That is sad that we're putting in all of this time, money, energy, and pain for nothing.
Yeah, really. The state-to-state requirements being so different, that's very strange. This person says that they have to in Minnesota.
And you say in Minnesota?
Oh, she says we don't. She meant we don't have to. And it's like a $6,000 to $10,000 pay bump in most districts. Big, big bump.
I love a good bump for that.
Yeah, it says, I went to UMN, which requires a master's to get licensed. We were salty at the time, but thank God I got it done with before teaching. But most people are saying, you know, it's just not worth it financially.
Emotionally, financially, instructionally.
We have 10 years to obtain our master's. Pay bump is not worth it. They do tuition reimbursement, which covers most of the cost. So they'll pay for your grad school that doesn't impact student learning, but they won't pay you more and you impact student learning. Interesting, interesting. Oh shit, pay bump won't be worth it for a few years because now I'm $20,000 in debt. They said such a dark time. I did it my first year teaching with a 60-minute commute. Okay, so I've had to do grad school 2 times because of gen ed hiring freezes. It's bullshit, but the money is worth it. Well, I don't understand how it relates to hiring freezes.
Me either. Couldn't Like you had to go because you didn't have a job? Or like
people are saying that it'll help you to get hired.
So like because there was so much competition, you really wanted to stand out.
And some people apparently, if they get hired and the offer is rescinded, they'll send you to grad school. To be like
prison? They can't make you go to grad
school. I don't know.
Like they drop you off? Like they kidnap you like they do at those teen wilderness things?
I don't know. I wasn't there. They could all be lying to me. I'm reading Reddit, so... Oh, I remember the LAUSD hiring freeze. I forgot about that. Well, anyways, so when do you have to start grad school?
I don't remember.
You're just blocking it out?
Either May or June.
So summer, and then how long is it?
2 years.
And you have to go spring, fall, summer, spring, fall, summer?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, boy.
Right. But because it's for people actively teaching, all of it's online, and you only have Zoom classes in the summer. When it's not summer, they give you deadlines, but it's like self-paced. And they said that they send you videos to watch and make you do discussions and things like that. But you never have to go in person, and you only do Zoom in the summer. But even that, like, I hope they know I'm going to Zoom them from my phone at the pool. Like, y'all are not about to take my life. C's get degrees, and I will be getting this one.
Hell yeah. I didn't even check my grades after last semester. Well, after the whole debacle with my professor.
When he tried to gaslight you into thinking that you broke his computer...
Let me tell you all this story. Let me take you down.
Share this with the people. Share it.
So this professor, he was the only professor who required quote unquote optional Zoom classes. But they were not optional the way that he presented them to us.
I was going
to
say required and optional aren't really driving with me.
No. He would show up to his Zoom class and he would be like, oh, thank you so much for joining us. And if you had your camera off, he would repeatedly bitch at you about having your camera off. And I'm like, I have my daughter. And
like, I have you on in a corner. I am listening, but I am also doing other things.
And it's presented as an optional class. I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but like, I want to be there to hear what's going on, but I also have shit to do. But he would repeatedly bring it up. Hey, Ariel, can you turn your camera on? Hey, what's going on? And I would unmute and be like, I'm with my daughter. And he'd be like, oh, that's such a blessing. You should just turn it on. It's such a blessing. We'd love to see her. And I'm like,
I'm such an asshole. I'd be like, she is actually in witness protection. I'm so sorry, but she is under strict guidelines.
Anyway, so this was this guy. And the last Zoom class of the year, everybody was like, actually, this was really difficult for me to get all the readings done. And he's like, well, this is grad school, so I don't know what to tell you.
He gagged them. I love that.
Yeah, it was fucking hilarious. You're reading 3 articles a week.
It's literally grad school. What did you think was going
to
happen?
But he was like, actually, for a graduate level class, this is the least amount of reading that you'll be required to do. Anyways, so then the end of the semester rolls around and I submit my paper and I'm like, thank God this shit's over. Like, I did such a good job. Maybe I didn't do a good job. I don't know, but it was over. Hang on. Let me see if I can read these messages. Okay. He says, I have not seen your final paper in our Canva site. The due date was last Friday. Please let me know if you already submitted it in any other platform or if you prefer to send it in to me via email. I am about to finalize grading and need you to contact me as soon as possible. If I don't hear from you via email by tomorrow at 12 noon, you may fail our class. You have the opportunity for an incomplete, which can give you additional time to complete and submit your final paper, but you need to contact me immediately. So I immediately respond and I send a screenshot from Canvas saying that I submitted my final paper December 8th at 1:41 p.m. We had until 10 p.m. and I commented on it. I said, hi, professor, this is where I submitted my paper. And I emailed him being like, hang on, I know I submitted that. Because it turns out that in Canvas, he put 2 spots for a final submission.
As someone on the giving end of Canvas, it's not ideal. I don't think I could have messed up this bad. But it is not very user-friendly for the teacher, but that is not an excuse for your treatment.
It is not user-friendly for the teacher. I really struggled with Canvas when I had to use it. So one assignment said, upload your final paper here, congrats. And the other one in all capital letters says, upload final paper here. And they're both due on the same day, whatever, whatever. So I did respond to his email, right? Being like, here's the deets, professor. He responds to me, Ariel, I could not download anything from your email. By the time I found your message, I had already graded you with an incomplete. Just in case you need extra time to complete your final paper, in any case, upload your final paper through Canvas ASAP and I will try changing your grade. But I had already submitted it to both spots for the assignment, tagged him, emailed, sent screenshots. So I respond. Hello, professor. Are you able to access it here? And I sent a link to the Canvas assignment. I had uploaded it to a different final paper submission spot somehow. And then tonight, I uploaded it to the other assignment where I got the zero. I've attached my paper again. The next morning, Ariel, your paper is not visible on Canvas. Send it to me as an attachment via email now. It is urgent. So then I double email this man, and I, at this point, am thinking I have lost my fucking mind because there's no way that he's wrong. I must be, like, something is wrong, but maybe it's because I'm emailing him through Outlook, and I usually use Gmail, so I switch. Good morning, professor. I don't know why emailing isn't working. I'm using Gmail now. I've attached my paper again. Here is the link to where I submitted it on 12/8. And our Canvas assignments, a screenshot of that page is below, as well as a screenshot of where I uploaded it to this assignment linked after you emailed me about the incomplete. He responds, Ariel, save me and yourself time and frustration and send me your paper as a simple Word attachment now in response to this email. I respond because in this fucking email, he has my paper attached to it. He has my paper attached where it says attach your paper. So I respond again. I've attached it here again because every email I've emailed him, I have attached the paper as well. I said, I've attached it here again. I have attached it via email to you as a Word file 3 times. In your response just now, it was also attached to your email. It is attached again. Shout out to everybody who thinks I'm patient in real life like I am in my videos. I'm fucking not. I'm such a hothead. I'm so pissed. So now I'm all irritable and mad. And I send a long email to, because he CC'd my advisor. He started CCing my advisor like I was in trouble. And I sent a giant email being like a rundown of everything, right? The next morning, Ariel, your paper is finally visible on Canvas today. Your grade will be changed soon. It may take a few weeks, but it will be changed to an A. IT glitches and problems happen sometimes. Enjoy your break. And I... on my story, on my friends only story, I said, so weird that Canvas and email attachments both glitched for the same 3.5 days. And then he put a comment on Canva. Ariel, your final paper is finally visible today. It is a commendable work with effective literature review, well-focused and well-written. Very good work, exclamation mark.
It was all worth it just to hear him say that.
It was not. I was so annoyed. I was like, shut up. I was so mad at this man. I could not believe that after all of the back and forth, he never apologized. His idea of an apology was just giving me an A and complimenting me. And I'm like, and I'm sorry, maybe, for being a dick. I'm sorry for involving your advisor to the point where you had to call her and be like, am I going to fail this class because this man doesn't know how to work a fucking computer? So that's my grad school experience from last semester.
Let's hope it's not as bad in the future or for me. But I think our biggest takeaway is maybe don't go to grad school. Unfortunately, both of us are going. But our advice to you is to not go.
So our investigative journalism, basically.
Is that you should not go to grad school. That's not the choice we want to make.
Unless they're going to pay you a lot of money.
$1 million. Then go. But if not, do not go.
Yeah. Or you're like, I want to change careers.
Exactly.
Basically, you do you.
Thank you all for coming to Teacher Quit Talk. We hope that you're not in grad school. And if you are, our condolences and our solidarity.
Later, player.